You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me. And life and loss. We're going to break down that thing called hurt and pain. And of course, we're going to shed some light on being a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called entertainment. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course, I call that motivation.
Tune in. Lean in. Listen up now.
Welcome to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and content creator. I'm believing this will be a motivational experience. Our intent is to empower, inspire, motivate, and equip. We broadcast the beauty of beginnings by sharing God's promises through personal stories. Now, if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to OMG. We hope you become a long-time listener. And for those that have been rolling with me for a while, thanks for adding such sweetness to my hot tea. There's something for everyone, so be sure to tune in, lean in, and listen up on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're keeping it real, y'all. Real triumphs, real tragedies, real tips, tools, and truths. And I am super excited to share my guest with you today. Her name is Deborah Hightower. She represents a multifaceted combination of success, ranging from the financial arena in corporate America to writing and speaking. Her approach is designed to prompt a rethink of thinking. Now, I know you want to know a little bit more about that phrase, because I do too. So please help me welcome to the conversation, Deborah Hightower. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited to just get rolling and talk about all the good things in store.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I want to share with our listeners what our topic is. It's called Write It Down and Make It Plain. And, you know, I believe there's power in the pen, pencil, or keyboard. And so there's a reason why successful people have a plan. So in today's show, we're going to answer the question, how does writing it down and making it plain help us become poised and prepared for the hot pursuit of what we desire in our lives? Now, that question will be answered, and Deborah's going to talk about that. She's going to talk about the whole topic. But, Deborah, generally, before I unpack a topic, I usually ask my guest if there's some challenge or struggle that happened along the way that helped to thrust you into purpose or that reminded you of how God was faithful before you gave birth to whatever your biggest project is or your best-selling book or the content or even how you got selected to be a part of Forbes. If there's any particular challenge or tragedy or situation that happened, that our listeners can then kind of understand that it's not always a straight line to that place called purpose. There's some detours sometimes. There's some bumps in the road. So if you have a little short story that you can share with our listeners, I'd love to allow them an opportunity to see the practicality of purpose.
Well, I tell you, I always think about the line of success. And when we think about where we start and where we want to be, we really do want the line to be nice and neat and going straight up the hill and success becoming success without troubles and trials and tribulations and all of that. But in reality, if we look at the path to success, as you say, there are a lot of potholes and ditches and times when you have to slam it in reverse and back up and try another path. And I think part of the way to success is realizing what doesn't work. So if you look back in history, I mean, there's people like Thomas Edison, for instance, who said, you know, on his way to discovering electricity is, you know, in the light bulb and all the things that he did, you know, we say, gosh, here's 10,000 ways it didn't work, and finally I got to the way that did work. And I think that's true regardless of what you're doing. For me, I started in the financial world with a firm long time ago, E.F. Hutton, and I sort of have to laugh and say I was so far down the totem pole, I was barely in the door. But once I got inside the firm and started learning everything, I realized that, you know, I think this is something I can do. And at that point, I had not been to school. I didn't have a college degree. I truly was the file clerk. And, you know, through all of that and learning things from the ground up really taught me that A to B may not be a straight line. And that's okay. So I went to work for E.F. Hutton, sort of climbed the ranks there, as small as those ranks were, starting at the bottom of the totem pole. You know, one corporate, you know, rung on the ladder is like an eighth of an inch. But needless to say, I stuck to it and kept plugging away and kept plugging away. And now all the years later, I've been in corporate America for a long time, and I've helped a lot of people get their financial lives together and their, you know, their financial plan for success for their own life, and then leave a legacy for their children and set up charitable foundations to give back to the world and all of those things. So, you know, I would encourage anybody to, you know, do not despise small beginnings, because I barely made any money when I first started. I mean, barely. I practically paid the people to let me have the job. It was so little. I mean, so if we compared it to today, say, good grief, girl, was that even lunch money? That was about how bad it was. But I knew that if I could just get my foot in the door, that I could learn these things. And I say that to anybody. It doesn't really matter where you start. It doesn't matter if you are a, you know, a high school dropout. If you, you know, you can get your GED, you can get a job, you can go back and get your college degree, which is the path that I followed. So everything doesn't always line up the way that, quote, society would have us believe. So that's the whole point of all of the encouragement and the inspiration that I try to put in the world every day. It's that it doesn't matter where you started. It matters your path. It matters how you get there, and it matters how, where you end up. A lot of people think, and I did too in the very beginning, that, you know, you have point A, where you are now, and point B is your ultimate goal. And I didn't account for all the little A's and B's and A's and B's and A's and B's in between. And so I encourage my clients, my financial planning clients, my coaching clients that I coach in their life and their business, that we have to look at all the tiny little A's and B's along the way. Because if you're at A and you get to a B, that's the new A that gets you to the next B that becomes the new A, and you keep on moving on that continuum, because that's what I've done with my life. Because if we see the ultimate B way out there, we just, we sort of fall off the wagon and we get discouraged and we say, good grief, I'm not going to ever get way over there. But if we do have a plan and we write it down and we make it plain and we check it off as we go, that's how we get to the pursuit of what ultimately is our success way down the road. Because if we're not poised and we're not prepared, our pursuit will be all over the place.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. I love that scripture, do not despise small beginnings. That's Zechariah 4 and 10. And what right. it says in that is, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. That's the first
yes.
part of that scripture.
That's the
and
first
the, and
step.
The
exactly.
You know, and the reason that I love it is because if you don't start, it doesn't matter if it's small, big, little. You'll never get anywhere. So the first step is to begin. God meets us along the way. And so it doesn't matter
Absolutely.
How small we start off. Or, you know, I remember starting off as an extra when I first started out acting. And then look at what the Lord has done. But I didn't despise the small beginnings. All of it. All of the steps that we take are tools. All of the steps that we take are training. All of the steps that we take is further education in whatever arena. And God doesn't waste one drop, does he, Deborah? He rings us out and he yes. allows everything you learn in the financial sector to go into every other corner and crevice of your life. So thank you for sharing that. Point A to point B has a whole bunch of other A's and a whole bunch of other B's in the midst, and they propel you to the next. Now, the next, it may not just be the beat, it's the next place in the journey. So don't get caught
Absolutely.
Up. Don't get caught up on where you start. The goal is to what? Finish well and finish strong. So thank you,
Absolutely.
Thank you, thank you for that. And so let's unpack, write it down and make it plain. Of course, most of our listeners are probably familiar with Habakkuk 2:2, which talks about writing the vision plain upon the table that he that read it will run. And so I'm going to allow you to kind of expound upon, you know, this question, you know, that you actually said we're going to pretty much answer. How does writing it down and making it plain help us become poised and prepared for the hot pursuit of what we desire for our lives? And you can start at any phase of that to kind of start breaking it down, and then I'll unpack as we go.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay, so great. Habakkuk 2:2, most people are familiar with that. As you say, write mm-hmm. it down and make it plain. But not so many people are familiar with what the next verse says, which is Habakkuk 2:3, that says, and in time, this will come to pass. So I think mm-hmm. that's where we sort of get all mixed up. We write it down, we make it plain, and then we think tomorrow or day after tomorrow it's supposed to be exactly the way we want it to be or the way we have envisioned that it will be. So how does writing it down, making it plain, to prepare for the time? Because everything along the way prepares us for the next step. And so many times in my life, I had no idea why something was happening, why the detour was going left and I thought it was going to go right, and all of those things. And sometimes we don't know the purpose behind all of that until we get further on down our continuum, and then we say, this is why that went the way that it did, because without that, I would not have been prepared for this. There, I can go back and just over my business life and my personal life that I mm-hmm. just had no idea why something wasn't going the way that I wanted it to. I truly, yeah. God needed my help in helping figure out all of this.
Of course.
So,
we always think that,
now,
don't
God.
We?
Come on now, God. I've got this all planned out. What is the problem? So, you know, so as much as I always try to help him out, you know, mm-hmm. things happen for a purpose. And even though it may be totally knocks the breath out of us, throws us for a loop, we just can't understand a sickness or a trial or a tribulation or the ditch that we just hit figuratively. But then in time, the truth will be revealed. And your yeah. preparation for step two was step one, 1A, 1B, 1C. And sometimes mm-hmm. we have to move forward a little bit, and then we have to slam it in reverse and say, well, good grief, that didn't go the way I thought that it would. So let me rethink my thinking. And let me rethink my plan, and let me adjust things some, and let me go back to the drawing board. Let me go back to my written down plan and see where those holes are. And I believe that that is applicable regardless of what you're doing, planning to go to college, yes. planning to get married, planning to retire. If we put the pursuit part before the poise and the prepared, then, you know, we're just going in circles because we're not making any advancement because we spend more time going backwards than we did going forwards. So that's what poised, prepared for the pursuit means, because oftentimes we have a great idea and we have resources to make it happen, and then we just start pursuing, and then we think, well, good grief, I didn't even know this part of the equation. So writing it down and making it plain is purposed in helping us make the invisible, which is our thoughts and our dreams and our desires and all of those things, makes the invisible actually visible so that we can go back and study over it and plug in the holes and think it through, if you will, on paper.
Yeah.
And then it helps us. Right.
It totally makes sense because, and you know, and I do want to go back and unpack your rethink the thinking part, because that phrase is so unique. I want to go back to that in a minute, but it totally makes sense, because there's no way that someone, for example, we get in a car, we program it in our GPS when we're going someplace that we don't know, so that it can show us step by step what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next. That's why we do use a GPS either on our phone, in our vehicles, wherever we are. So why wouldn't we want to use something for the map of life, the plan that we want to pursue, or the life, or the dream, or the business that we want to develop? Developing a business plan is a part of launching a business. And having a plan for your life and writing it plain will help us clarify what step is next. Now, sometimes they may go a little out of order, but having the plan lets you see, okay, I did step one, I did step four, let me go back to step two before I jump to step six or step eight. And like you said, before we do the last thing, which is start running, it's like, hold it, wait, you ain't count up the cost, you ain't did no research, you don't know what's next, you don't know.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And then you know what we do. Come on, we start blaming it on God. God, you gave me this idea. You told me I'm supposed to do this conference. They rented this huge hotel. They couldn't afford this hotel. And then all of a sudden you're like,
and two people
did I miss
came.
God? Yes. You're like, did I miss God? And then they're blaming God. And it's like, God goes, hold on. I gave you the idea. Wait for the appointed time. Like she said, that's about two, three. Wait for the appointed time.
And it's the hardest thing to do.
It is so hard.
It's the hardest thing
them.
To do because
you know, I hear them clearly.
I want everything done yesterday.
Yes. That's how we do it. And then we stamp his name and wonder why he hasn't finished it. He's like, wait, I told you what to do. I didn't tell you when to do it. You didn't ask
me. I certainly didn't tell you to start running toward the finish line before we even had our running shoes together.
You know, girl, you're out there
high heels and a business suit trying to run.
Oh, girl, high heels and a business suit trying to run around the track.
Business suit trying to spread across.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Okay, so Debra, do this for me, because I love that phrase, rethink your thinking. I want you to just take a minute or two and just kind of unpack that, because it's such a interesting phrase, and I know you must have thought of it because I have never read or heard that before. So when you say rethink your thinking, express to our listeners what exactly that means so that they can grasp it and then run with it so that they can rethink their thinking.
Well, you know, when you have a grand idea, you have a dream, you have a purpose that's burning on the inside, that you really want to make a difference in the world, start a business, go back to school, get another degree, change careers, all of those things. We really do have the tendency to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to start doing it right now. And sometimes we do that, and it works out, and then sometimes it doesn't work out. So in the process of rethinking our thinking, we may have thought something one way and it turned out not to work out. And then, as you say, we start blaming other people and saying, well, gosh, am I not good enough? You know, God, why did you leave me out here on the limb? So mm-hmm. in terms of rethinking our thinking is that. It's saying, okay, this is what I was thinking. It might have a few holes in it. So let me rethink my thinking and check off, double check, get things in a better order, and do it through a written plan that is can be substantiated, that can be really time tested, and just tested for viability and longevity and all the things that go along with a business plan or a life plan, because we don't enter college and leave 3 days later with a PhD. And, you know, sometimes when we're in college, we think, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And then you realize, well, no, I don't even like that subject. I don't even know why I thought that to begin with. So I need to rethink what I was thinking. What about it do I like? What about it do I not like? Where are my strengths? Where are the things that I really like to do, and what are the things I don't like to do, and how does that all come together with what would be the best opportunity for me and where my light can shine the brightest? Because everybody can't be good at everything. True. And I'm not really an advocate of working on our weaknesses. I mean that not from a spiritual standpoint, because we all have weaknesses that we need to work on. I'm thinking more of it from a life and professional standpoint, because if you're not good at something, why in the world would you spend time trying to get better at it and you don't even like it to begin with? Let's look at what you're good at and where you can make the most impact and what you can bring to the table. To your team, to your coworkers, to your colleagues, to your company, to your family and your community and your, you know, friends and all of the things. What is your part of the equation that will make the whole thing work out?
Okay, so let me ask this. You know, a bunch of things are kind of popping in my head. So there's a couple of things. So when we're talking about write it down and make it plain in tonight's topic. Can one write it down and make it plain for their relationship? Write it down and make it plain for their career? Write it down and make it plain for their weight loss goals? Write it down and make it plain. They can pretty much write it down and make it plain for any area that they want to pursue or eventually pursue.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how would you... If there's someone who's never been in the habit of or doesn't have the discipline to or have never been taught, they've never been taught to do that, where would you start with a person like that who they're listening to this show and they're going, yeah, but you're a writer. You've got a couple of books. You're best-selling author, you know, Deborah and Mara's an author. You guys have already done it, but I've never even written so much as a book or posted a blog. You know, where can I begin? Where should I begin? How will you help someone begin?
Yes, and actually, my guided journal is a real big hit with people who don't really know how to put everything on paper. A guided journal, it's called Fly, Beautiful Fly, and it really is a journal created specifically for encouragement and inspiration that you find on the inside of yourself through prompts that are in the book. And it uses prompts, you know, for inspiration, to write your thoughts, to doodle, to make bullet points.
Yeah.
You know, write crazy and wild dreams and crazy and wild goals that you really want to see in your life. And it may be a long way away, but I'm an advocate. If you can dream it, write it down. It may not be part of the plan for the next 2 or 3 years, but if that's really what you want to do, travel the world, live in another country, whatever it is, just wild and crazy, audacious dreams, write them down. And then we start picking the pieces that you can make happen in a shorter time frame and how we go about doing that. And that's one of the things that I would say has helped not only me, but a lot of other people, because sometimes we don't know how to write a paragraph or we don't feel like we can get a paragraph out. Make bullet points. Mm-hmm. Doodle. Mm-hmm. Write one word. And even, let's just take weight loss, for example. Yeah. I don't care what the grocery store tabloids say. You know, I could do mm-hmm. 6 million squats a day. I'm not going to have a yeah. booty like Beyonce. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we get caught on that and we say,
yeah.
shoot, well, I can't really get that done, so I'm not going to do anything. But if yeah. we instead have our bullet point for our weight loss, you know, I'd like to lose 10 pounds, it doesn't matter if it takes me 5 years or 5 months, I'm going to work toward that goal. And even if it's bullet points, I will not eat potato chips, I will eat a piece of fruit instead. Those
yeah.
simple one bullet sentences
mm-hmm.
is the beginning of making something bigger. And then before you know it, you know, you can write a couple of sentences. You can talk about your day. I'm
yeah.
very big into, I think the first thing that we should do every day is be grateful that we have opened our eyes to see another day. So my gratitude and thankfulness happens before I even get out of bed in the mornings. So mm-hmm. it helps us with our routine. It helps us getting the habit of gratefulness. Because you know yeah. as well as I do, and every listener out there knows how we can get on a pity party real quick.
Mm.
And we just say, nothing went right today, and let me tell you why, and this girl did this to me, and this guy said this to me,
yes.
and I couldn't find a parking spot, and yeah. Because you
mm-hmm.
know how that goes. And
yeah,
just living in the gratitude and gratefulness. And if you have to pull that page out of that journal and say, let me just take a little glance here at what I am thankful for today,
yeah.
the rest
yeah.
of this crap doesn't matter.
And, you know, you brought up a very, one of the points that I'm constantly reminding others of, I said, literally, if I began to think about what God does for me in just waking me up, from the breath
oh,
to
yeah.
lungs to kidneys to eyes to,
yeah.
sight, to hearing to scent to touch to move. I was like, if I start just thinking about it, doesn't even take a minute. The next thing you know, you're just in full praise mode because you're humbled. The most powerful things to be grateful for are the things that your money can't buy. And so if you
Absolutely.
Just start with the list of things that your money can't buy, the things that no matter how wealthy you are, you couldn't afford on your best day. You can't, you don't know how to cause the air to be in your body or your heart to beat or your lungs to expand and decrease. You don't know how to make your fingers move and the joints work in concert with the skin. You don't know how to have skin on your face, your eyelids to close to protect yourself from things when something's coming towards you, or the hairs in your nose to protect you from foreign objects, and that's why you sneeze. You don't know how your ear works or how your neck is purposely positioned so that everything can go down and then get, you have no idea. We have no idea. So start thinking about the things you can't afford on, no matter how much money you have, and then you can go on and thank him for the other things. You know, he's kept you safe through the night, your car, your house, all the material stuff, but the stuff you can't buy are the most valuable things in your life. So never allow the loss of a job, a car, a home to derail you from giving God gratitude for the things you do have. If you focus on those, they get bigger and the other things get smaller. Just like the phrase on the window, it says, objects in the mirror appear larger because what you give your attention to comes to live in you and it grows and you get consumed with it. So fly, beautiful fly. I love the title of it. I love the graphics of it because it's like a beautiful expression. You look at it and you go, oh wow, this is beautiful. This is priceless. But more importantly, you in the journal, you give us permission to, as you said, you know, like we can do bullet points, you can you can doodle, you can draw, you can write. And again, you said start with a word if you have to. Just start with a word. The goal is to start. Start. And then the second word will follow, or the second sentence will follow. And before you know it, you've actually penned some of the things that have been on your heart or in your or on your mind. And that's where the magic happens. That's where the really beautiful thing happens. Won't you agree?
Absolutely.
Won't you just kind of float into that?
You just sort of float into it, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the butterfly, I chose the butterfly for a reason, because the butterfly just didn't wake up a butterfly. There was a lot of change that had to go through, that it had to go through to blossom into the beautiful creature that it is. And is that not true for us?
Oh, my goodness. So true for
us.
So true.
Right. We didn't just wake up where we want to be. We have to fight to get there. And the whole process of becoming a beautiful butterfly, too, is not all that cute.
No, that shedding, that ugly face.
That shedding, right. And that thing, that's right.
It's a messy thing.
Exactly.
I posted something earlier in the month, actually, it was still in November, I said something about a masterful metamorphosis is on the horizon. And then I say, slow down, you'll get there faster. Because sometimes we're so in a hurry. You remember when we were little kids and you couldn't wait to be a teenager? And then once you were a teenager, I can't wait to be grown so I could be on my own. And then you were getting bills and you were like, I wish I was back at my mama's house and she was the one having those bills come in her name. Because we are in such a hurry to get to the next that we're missing the fact that we could enjoy the now. Instead of always being anxious for what's next, what's next, what's next, you set a goal and then you reach it and people are like, okay, I got that. Now let me go. Hold it. Slow down. Relish the accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't relish the accomplishments of each level that we get to or each goal that we accomplish, we'll begin to take it for granted and then we'll constantly be in pursuit of the next instead of enjoying the now.
Exactly. And you know what? Regardless of what goal you accomplish, if there's something amiss in your heart and your soul and, you know, your own understanding of what it is that's important in life, you won't be happy and joyful wherever you are, regardless of how much money you have. Just a quick look at wealthy people, athletes, movie stars, you know, all of the people that are on social media, if you get right down to it, so many of them have anxiety and they really are not at peace with who they are or themselves. And one of the reasons that I did Fly Beautiful Fly was just to make us slow down and think about these things, those small things of gratitude and what really turns us on. Is it the sunrise? Is it the sunset? Is it taking a long walk? All the things that fuel and nourish the soul. One of the things that I wrote in the author's note of Fly Beautiful Fly, it says, we must do the work, for there are no shortcuts. Let honesty guide the way. Resting knowing you will emerge enlightened and stronger for the journey. We should work harder on ourselves than anything else. We must examine how we feel, what brought us to this point, and how we can achieve good success for the future. We have the power to make the needed changes in our lives. Committing these things to paper is the first step in making the invisible visible. And the good thing about it is this is a digital. I do have printed copies, but I have found that most people prefer the digital copy because you can type on the PDF and or you can print out the page that you need for the day and take it with you. And the good thing about it is you can use it over and over. So it's not a one-page deal. You know, if you're on the PDF, you can save that page over and over. So if you're really struggling with something in your life and you open the book, you don't have to do it in any order. So if you open the book and you open it to the page, I just opened a random page number 53 that says, whatever you plant and nourish will one day become reality. Guard your thoughts. So if there is something that, you know, you need to process, write it down, think on it, take the page with you, and then pull it out during the day and say, you know what, I need to guard my thoughts today. Because just like the pity party, we can jump on the political train. We can jump on the social media train. We can do all of these things that absolutely accomplish nothing for our spirit and our mind. You know?
No.
I mean, these people can care less what you're saying. They will not feel you.
Not one iota. Yep.
Not one iota.
Angry and upset and frustrated, and you don't have a stake in it. You meaning you're getting wired from your home, and these people have gone about their day. They're not thinking about you. But it's amazing how we allow ourselves to be sucked into different things, and it's okay to have conversations about it, healthy debates if you want to. But when those things don't afford you any opportunity to receive something that would be valuable, you know, for your well-being, for your mental well-being, your emotional well-being, some people just ought not listen to things that are frustrating for them sometimes, because it sets a tone for their entire day, you know,
and
that's not healthy. Because if you find yourself, you know, having a debate, and a fiery debate over every single thing that comes up, something's wrong with you. Because eventually, why are you taking that so personally? Why does it mean that much to you that you're working yourself up and your blood pressure has just been raised behind a conversation? I'm just talking. It's not making me angry. I'm not yelling. I'm not even emotionally invested. I'm merely stating facts or what I believe is a fact, you know, and so some people need to just dial that back. You made a statement earlier in our conversation. You said, slam it in reverse and back. You didn't say back that thing up, but back it up.
But that's what I wanted to say.
Because some people need to
back that thing up, girl.
And back that thing up. Yes, they do. So that they can actually drive on a smoother path and drive in the right direction. And so writing it down, again, you know, her beautiful guided journal, Fly Beautiful Fly, it's so beautiful, and it gives you space, which I believe is necessary whenever you're writing anything down. You know, I remember doing write a book in 3 days, and I finished a book in 3 days doing that workshop. But one of the beautiful things, which I know you reiterate in yours, is there weren't any lines. We literally wrote on like typing paper, because when you start to constrict your idea, when you allow your left and your right brain sometimes to get involved at the same time, you can start editing before you've fully written something out. And so the more space and freedom, the more space and freedom you have to just allow what is on your mind to be, in a word or in a sense, regurgitated onto the paper, then you're giving yourself permission to just allow it to all come out. You can always go back and review and revise and correct if you need to, but sometimes it's just good to get what's inside on the outside so that it becomes manageable. You know, when you look at your problems on paper, I tell people often, you know, like I said, objects in the mind, objects in the mirror appear larger. Objects in the mind also appear larger, because it's competing with the next thing you need to do. It's competing with the laundry list. It's competing with the finances. So if it's in your mind, it's so big that you can barely even hear it. So if you put it on paper, most of the time it becomes manageable, because then you can devise a plan on how to execute the things that are on your mind that seem to be a problem. You'll look and go, oh, well, if I just do this with that, oh, and maybe if I do that with this, and you look and you're like, oh man, I've been stressing over that problem for 3 weeks because I never wrote it down to actually count up the cost or tackle it, you know, point by point.
Exactly.
Point by point.
And that in a turn is rethinking your thinking. When you put it down, you dissect it. And the good thing about Fly Beautiful Fly is, you know, it has the freedom for you to express your thoughts, whether it's anger, happy, frustration, joy, whatever it is, that's your personal thoughts. And the editing should not be done at that point. And do you know, that's the hardest thing for me when I write, though. I write three sentences, back up, make the grammatical corrections. And that is so hard for me. That is so hard not to
and
do
it's
that.
Counterpro-
just get
it's
it on the paper. And then,
yes.
Right, it's very
it's
counterproductive.
Because when we do that, we're actually stopping and starting the flow. And the flow needs to be consistent. Allow that energy of wanting to sit and do it to propel you to fill the page or the next page or to just write a sentence or one phrase. Because once you do it, it becomes easier and easier to continue. And if you, and I also found if I put on music that doesn't have words or lyrics, just music, it sometimes will help me create a rhythm, you know, to my writing. Mm-hmm. That may not work for some. Some people can actually work with lyrics playing. I find on my paper, I'll have the lyrics that I heard. So I just listen to
it. I'll be singing
like,
it.
That word, why did that word get in my, you know, how did, and I go, oh, I was listening to something. So I write to instrumental songs so that I can allow it to just help me steady my rhythm.
And I write in complete silence. I can't have any background noise or whatever because it just gets in the way of my thinking.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like our purpose, I mean, we're all different and we have to find what works for us and what our strengths are and how we can move along the path. So that's sort of the poised part. Figure out what it is you want to do, write it down, all of that. And then the preparation part is when we start dissecting and we say, okay, if I want a college degree, then here is what I have to do to get that college degree. And here are the steps that I have to take. Here are the classes that I have to take. Here's when I can take those classes. If you're starting a business, the same thing. There's a lot that goes into between getting poised, which is writing it down, thinking it over, making an outline, writing everything down to start with, and then start editing it down to a manageable task list, understand the vocabulary. I see so many people and have over the years that will say, okay, Deborah, I really want to do this. And then when you start talking the language, they're looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. And I'm like, well, okay, well, the first thing we have to do is we have to get poised. You have to learn the vocabulary. You have to learn what these things mean before we can even start preparing. So if you don't know what a mission statement is, how in the world can we get prepared to launch a business? So there is an order to things. And when we get the poised part, then we start the preparation of the million things that have to be done before you should start pursuing. Because that's why businesses fail. That's why people drop out of college. That's why people start a job and they're there for 15 years and they hate every day of it. So we have a choice. We either design the life that we want or we just roll with the flow. And the people that you find that are rolling with the flow are really not maximizing the gifts and talents that they've been blessed with. They hate their job, but they know they have to have a job, so they get up and they just drudge through it every day. And I just believe that God wants more for us than that. I think
There's
he wants us to
more.
Be prosperous. I think he wants us to be joyful. And you know as well as I do, we can have all the spiritual nuggets that we need. And yes, I'm going to praise the Lord. And that's all good and wonderful when things are going the way that we want them to go. But then mm-hmm. when we're in the proverbial ditch or we hit a pothole and it blows out all four of our tires, it's yeah. a little harder to praise during those times.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So all of those components go into the poised and prepared part. And then when you pursue, you're ready. You know the vocabulary. You know what's got to be done to get you there. And you're essentially working the plan. So you plan it and you work it. And the pursuit part is actually working the plan. It's working the plan. If it's a financial plan and we're working the plan, well, first of all, you know, we have to deal with that bad word that starts with a B, a budget. If you don't have a clue mm-hmm. where your money's going,
ooh.
You know money's coming in, but you don't have a clue what you did with all of it last week.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the point.
You'll never get to the finish line.
Figure out.
You'll never get
right.
there.
Right. We'll never get there because we're just going never. Around in circles. Right.
Yes.
So that is applicable regardless of what you're trying to do. Get your money together, get your life together, get your marriage together, get your kids, you know, out of the house, get them through college or whatever. Everything requires a plan. And if we don't have one, I think we're just selling ourselves short. And there is a Thai Bhikshun monk, Thomas Merton, who says the biggest human temptation is to sell ourselves short. And the God I serve does not talk about selling anything short.
No.
Bigger and no. better and grander and no. and all of those things. And I believe that's what life is supposed to be.
Above. It is.
Oh, and beyond.
It is.
Oh, yes.
And, you know,
yes.
and I hope for our listeners, you know, because sometimes people can hear a message like this and wonder if they've made too many mistakes up to this point. And what we want you all to know and to hear is sometimes all of those, first of all, everything that happens in your life is working out for your good. Even the seemingly
absolutely.
Bad things, you don't know what you're being protected from. You don't know why there's a hand that stops you from doing certain things. But the word talks about all things working together for the good. And so you've got to first hold that. And then you also have to know, that God's plan for your life is greater and better than any plan you can devise. And so as you're going on this journey and the bumps and the hiccups and the hills and the mountains or the time, it's like, okay, it was supposed to be 3 years. I should be married by now. This business should be in the black by now. All of the things you're learning, as you even heard Deborah say, from the mistakes that have taken place, when something happens in a bad way, I file that in a different place. It is ready to be recalled at a drop of a dime because I don't want to make the same mistake again. You know,
absolutely.
I could talk about something that happened today. I don't want to make a mistake again. And so I file it. And so now it's on instant recall. I don't even have to think about it. It's like, oh, wait. So your what seemingly failures or your mistakes or your errors are the best training ground for setting you up to purpose, to setting you up for that hot pursuit that Deborah's talking about. Gosh, the time just flies. I want you to share with our listeners how they can keep in touch with you. Tell them about some of the products you have and where they may be able to get them.
Yes, thank you. All things mm-hmm. Deborah Hightower is at DeborahHightower.com. And on social media, I am at the Deborah High. And I purposely did the Deborah High because, you know, everybody always says, oh, you're like a ray of sunshine when you enter the room and you have this big smile
oh.
and you bring the energy with you. And I really wanted that to be the crux of what this is all about, catch the Deborah High. Because I do believe that we are intended to live a life elevated, and I don't believe that we belong in the gully or the ditch or down under. I believe that we belong in the clouds flying around, you know, like a beautiful butterfly and all of those things. And so that's at the Deborah High. So catch the Deborah High. Oh. So everything, the products and everything are on the website. Mm-hmm. And I just reduced the cost of Fly Beautiful Fly. It's a great price, and I did it just today for the listeners. So go on the website, check it out, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you are more than welcome. And you are right. You know, when I first met you, I thought the same thing. It's like I heard someone say, it was a designer, I think it was Nate Burke, I can't recall his last name, but he was on the Oprah show, and he said, when you walk into your home, it should rise to meet you. If you walk into your home, and when you get in, you feel more tired than you did before you got there, or you feel weighed down because it's so much clutter and junk and no space to think or be or move, then your house needs a do-over. You need to revise it. And the same is true for the people in your life. And you just brought that back to my remembrance, because if people in your life, if everybody in your life is bringing you down or making you feel heavy, then you need some people like Deborah High, that you can catch the Deborah High, that when you see her, you know, your spirit rises to meet her spirit. You know, I am known as the kind of person who's always bubbly, always joyful. People say it like about me all the time, which is why I created Maravation and to Maravate You, because I want to motivate people. I want to inspire them. I want to remind them of their greatness. And so you are definitely that person. From the moment I saw you, you were smiling, full of great energy and bubbling over with joy, so much so that people could take a sip from your saucer. So I want to thank you for parting the Red Seas of your world to deposit into our listeners and into me. And I also want to thank our listeners for keeping in touch with the OMG show and following us on social media. And if you'd like to continue to do that, or if you don't know how, you can get Maravated daily. All you have to do is follow me on social media at Mara Gale on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And if you go to my YouTube channel, don't forget to subscribe. Plus, you can always visit MaraGale.com to see exactly what I do, when I do it, and what I've done. Remember, you can catch us online at UpToMeRadio.com. That's up. The number 2meradio.com, also Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Stitcher app. Deborah Hightower, you have blessed me indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And may Daddy reward you richly for the bountiful deposit you've shared with us.
Thank you so much.
Wait to give you the answers to the question you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m. OMG.